Good morning. It is 7:43 here on the Mighty 690, and it is time for our Green Setup program. We have Wendy Powell from K-State Extension's Wildcat District. Good morning, Wendy. How's it going?
Good morning. Great. How are you?
Doing well. So here we are in almost getting knocking on the door here of June, but are there any events that you would like to bring to our attention here?
Yeah, we do have a few things coming up. We've got a babysitting class coming up in Independence. I don't have the date on my head right now, but you can look at our social media pages and our website for that babysitting clinic coming up, and I'll highlight that a little bit later in our conversation, as well as our county fairs coming up for later in July, so it's never too early to get those put on the calendar as well.
It's an exciting time. A lot of the
yes.
county fairs.
Yes.
They're going to be here. Seems like we were just talking about them.
Yep.
All right. Well, today I know that we've got all sorts of cuties out in the pasture here, the little calves, and it's so exciting. It's such a wonderful time.
Yes.
And I'm always like, I go by and I'm like, "Oh, they're so cute." And they're like squirting through the fence and stuff, and I'm like, "Oh, uh-oh. Whoops." That's
yep.
not good.
All that green grass.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good for those digestive yes. systems, but sometimes the little fiber is good
yes.
too.
So, oh my goodness. So it is a fun time to see all the little baby calves.
Yeah,
so.
I like watching them jump around.
Oh,
they're
having
good.
Having so much fun. Of course, one of those things that we're starting to think about this time of year is that it's getting hotter and maybe some shade structures for those grazing cattle.
Yes, absolutely. It's never too early to think about shade, because when you don't have it, it's expensive. And when you do have it, it's probably in the wrong spot. So let's talk about why it's important. The main thing is heat stress in all livestock. Today, the conversation is geared towards cattle mostly. But heat stress, cattle are mostly comfortable between 41 and 77 degrees. And depending on that relative humidity, of course, but that's their kind of comfort zone. So once we start getting warmer than in that upper 70s, then our cattle start getting more stressed. And of course, that's going to vary with their animal's coat color, the thickness of their hair, as well as their fat deposits. You know, the heavier cattle will tend to experience heat stress a little bit more strongly than thinner cattle. But the other part of that is production is decreased, milk production is decreased, fertility can be impacted. So it's really important that we make for sure that our livestock are safe during these summer months. And I know that we've got rain in the forecast, and so that means maybe some cloud cover, so we don't have to worry about it this week maybe. But like I said, it's expensive or in the wrong spot.
Sure.
So it's time to get it on our mind.
Yeah. So what are some of those, you know, it seems like it might be obvious, but the benefits of shade for those cattle?
So the main benefits is just that decreased solar radiation. So just that sunshine hitting the animal directly is the main benefit of our shade. And so there's been so many research studies done about shade at several different universities, but one of them I wanted to mention was the University of Arkansas. They compared artificial shade to no shade at all to shade trees. So animals had access to those three different situations. And compared to no shade at all, animals with artificial shade were increasing their daily gain. So, you know, their pounds per day daily gain 20% compared with no shade. So the cattle with artificial shade and no shade, a 20% increase with the artificial shade. But when we looked at tree shade, it's a 60% increase. So that to me is just pretty impactful right there. And that's simply because tree shade allows that body temperature to release, and the leaf material allows a little bit of breeze to filter through, more so than artificial shades. So what is the best shade opportunity for your operation, right? Well, usually the most inexpensive option is what most people are going to go with, and that's going to be trees. But unfortunately, most of the time, they're not situated in the right spot. You know, they're either in a riparian area where we're trying to make for sure our animals are not, so that we don't have any manure runoff into water sources or things like that, or they're real close to the pond, or they're real close to like the feeding area, and so the cattle aren't getting out into the grazing areas for their evening grazing. So some intentional tree plantings might be need to add to your to-do list. Intentional tree planting, and by that I also mean the right kind of tree as well. You don't want to go out there planting cedar trees. Please don't do that. So just find the right tree for your operation.
Do you have a suggestion on a type at all?
You know, I should have looked that up before I came in, but we always like a good oak tree. They're sturdy. They don't, a pecan tree will shed. Pecan trees are great, and then you have that, you know, pecan pie opportunity, right? But they also shed with their limbs. They're self-pruning, so there's always sticks and stuff on the ground, which can be uncomfortable for a cow to lay on, as you might imagine. elms are good. We've got some Dutch elm disease problems going on right now, but those traditional good shade trees, just like what you would look for in your yard.
Now, you've got to, if you're starting a tree out, you've got to protect it for a while from those cattle. And then two, I mean, I'm guessing they're probably going to want to rub on it. And so you might want a tree that's going to be a little bit more, it doesn't mind that.
Yes, absolutely. You definitely want to protect those new investments. And a good tree is not terribly cheap. I mean, it's cheaper than a portable shade, but it does need to have that TLC, make for sure that it's not pushed over by cattle in their itching phases, or wildlife as well. And if you have trees already established and cattle have been congregating under there, you know, the roots might be exposed, a little bit of soil compaction from that congregation. Just go ahead and recover that with some topsoil and throw down some grass sod or seed, and to increase that bedding area and also to protect the tree as well. So the trees that you do have can be protected. There are some strategies there to mitigate any damage that has been done.
So obviously the best time to plant a tree was 30 years ago. Yes. But if we want to look into some of those portable and man-made shade options, what are we looking at?
Yeah, so there's lots of different kits out there available in farm stores and online. And I've got several resources of designs. So you can go really fancy with like pipes and weld and, you know, just make for sure that it's high enough and large enough for the animals that you have in your herd. And then you can use like cloth fabric for the top, or tarps. Several different sorts of material can be used for that. You want to make for sure the material can allow air through, so that the breeze goes through. That's what is the beauty of trees, is that air movement. So yeah, portable shades are excellent, but they tend to be a little bit expensive. The beauty of the portable shades is the portableness, right? You can move the cattle around pasture to pasture, and the shade is on skids, so you simply just take the shade with the cows. And so it's really easy to move from place to place. Permanent structures, again, those are great. We see these a lot in dry lots or the bullpen, things like that. Again, similar to a tree, they're not always in the exact right spot. So just make for sure that those are well maintained, though, because animals do congregate in there. Sometimes there's some fly problems, just depending on that airflow as well. So keeping that clean and in good working condition is important.
I actually remember seeing when I was in Arizona, obviously there's not going to be a lot of trees out there. So I think it might have actually been a dairy, but they had really very large shade structures, you know, like permanent ones, but they had like solar panels and fans underneath all of that. And so, you know, they had plenty of space, and then they're big enough to where as the sun moved around, they could find that shade. But it was just kind of interesting. They had that all, you know, kind of permanently set up there. Again, I think it was probably a dairy, but it was just kind of interesting to see how they were dealing with the shade situation out in Arizona.
Yeah. And including the air movement. That's excellent. Yeah.
And two, I mean, if you're creative, you could hook up a solar panel directly You can hook solar panels directly up to a fan. You don't have to have a DC fan. It's got to be a DC fan. But that's something you could do. And as long as the sun's shining, it's just going to power it. Once the sun goes down, the fan will turn off.
So nice.
That would be something to consider if you want a little project.
Yeah, there you go. And got a little money to spend on some solar panels. Yeah, that's great. Since you mentioned that, in feedlots, they just have great big tall pipes, and they'll string like those sails. We've seen those sails in backyards and whatever. They've got great big ones. And they'll just string those along cables in the feedlot situations. So it's sort of a permanent setup, but it's not always a permanent cover itself. They can take those down in the wintertime so that they're not susceptible to the high winds that we get in the wintertime.
Yeah, makes sense.
And snow loads as well. So how much shade do our critters need? Our cattle, before they're weaned, we know we're looking at about 400 pounds. They need 15 to 20 square foot a head. So enough space to turn around, get to their mama, things like that. An 800 pound feeder cow, steer, heifer, whatever it is, 20 to 25 square feet. And so this is also going to allow that air movement around the animal. Beef cows, typically these are going to be cows that are caring for a calf, 30 to 40 square feet. And dairy cows, so they also have that lactation situation going on, and that also increases heat stress on these dairy cows, 40 to 50 feet of space required for those animals. So it's really important that our animals have enough space that they are comfortable and can spread out, where they don't try to stack on top of each other because everybody wants under that shade. So making for sure you have enough shade for all the critters is really important. And just providing the shade so that we can decrease that heat stress and you don't see animal performance decreasing during our summer months due to heat stress is really important. Bulls will lose their fertility over the summer, and then you see open gaps in your breeding system. And it gets to be a real disaster at times. Yeah,
we don't want that.
No, we do not.
So, Wendy, if folks do have questions on this, maybe they would like some of that sizing information and square footage maybe you just talked with, and I know you're happy to send some information folks' way. How can they get a hold of you?
Absolutely. Give me a call at the Labette County Extension Office. That phone number is 620-784-5337.
Okay, very good. And, of course, coming up next, what do we have in our next segment together?
We are going to talk about custom rates, our new publication sent out from the AgEcon department on campus.
Okay, fantastic. Well, that is all coming up here as we continue our Green Side Up program here on the Mighty 690, brought to you by Green Acres in Coffeyville. Straight ahead, we have a check of weather from News on 6, Fox News Local News, and we'll get you right back into our Green Side Up program today here on the Mighty 690. We have 65 degrees, Coffeyville Municipal Airport. Good morning. It is 8:11 here on the Mighty 690. We continue along with our Green Side Up program. We have livestock production agent Wendy Powell back in studio with us. Good morning, Wendy.
Good morning. How are you?
Doing well. So we teased it a little bit here last segment, but I know you wanted to talk about the rates paid by Kansas farmers for custom work. This brand new report that has come out. I understand this has been kind of a popular topic.
Yes, absolutely. This is a report that K-State Ag Econ, the economics department, does every other year or so. And really, they just collect information from across the state, and they break that down by regions. So seven different regions in Kansas. And then they give us this nice, easy to read report of different costs for various practices across the state. And so you can actually look in here and see the state average costs of whatever practice, and then you can actually narrow that down to your specific region. And we look at things like grain harvesting, several different grain crops, seed cleaning, grain hauling, so hauling from the field to the storage location or from the storage location to where it's being used, silage operations. There's a lot more silage being harvested these days, rotary mowing and tree shearing. So that's a very popular Southeast Kansas thing to do, clearing out those pastures we like to see. Haying operations, so mowing, baling hay, hauling, all of the different parts of that. And then we also look at the cost of the entire hay operation. Land tillage, planting lots of different things. So those grain harvesting things that we looked at earlier, planting all of those things, but also planting some of our grasses for pasture and in our CRP areas, things like that. Chemical application. So whether that's anhydrous ammonia or aerial spraying, ground rig spraying, we're not quite to the point of doing drone applications. So those more precision ag technologies. There's just not enough data coming into the Ag Econ department to utilize those numbers collectively in a study like this. We also look at custom rates for feed preparation, grinding, pelleting. And then this year's report also includes historical averages, so you can see how the pricing has changed over time as well.
So where do the numbers for this come from?
So surveys are sent out, and so this information is actually 2025 data. So in 2025, surveys were sent out to all sorts of different folks participating in these practices, and those surveys are responded to and sent back to campus. So sometimes it's an online survey, but there's also paper versions where folks can submit their specific costs, and then K-State will crunch all of those numbers and assemble this report.
Gotcha.
Yep. So it's a big process. Lots of different factors go into it. Huge amounts of data. And even whenever you look through the report, sometimes there's not quite enough data to give a full answer. And so some of them are still blank. But we like to think that the important practices are being considered here, the high-level stuff that we can capture information on.
So how can this help out our producers? What can they gain from taking a look at this?
Yeah, so it's really important to, for one, if you're trying to set up, like, let's say, fence building, you're trying to find the cost of how much it's going to cost to build fence. So what are our averages? So one option you have is to call around to a bunch of different contractors to find out what they'll charge. The other option is to, and maybe you should do both, is to look at this custom rates survey and find out, okay, if it's a five-wire fence, barbed wire, you know, these parameters, this is what folks were charging in 2025. This is my area average. And so you can kind of compare that and get a cost comparison. And the other part of that is if you are running a business, you can look at these numbers, you know, how much are they charging out west? What are their inputs? Why are they different from here? Some things like that. So it's just a good cost comparison tool.
So any highlights that stick out to you here as we take a look at the report?
Well, it is so new. I haven't had a huge opportunity to digest all of it. But I will say we are in such a high fuel market situation. Our fuel prices are outrageous, and they have changed since we took the survey information. So like I said, the survey data is from 2025, and we are not looking at fuel prices of 2025 numbers. And so how can we use our custom rates for planting and harvesting, all of these machines that use fuel, how can we apply that information to today's fuel prices? And so I actually reached out to the Ag Econ department so that we can answer that question. And really, we just need to create a slide for all of that. So if we've got a 3-5% increase in our fuel costs, then we need to increase our costs in our spreadsheets and our projections for whatever operation we're using. So in more of the fuel intensive operations, planting, harvesting, things like that, then maybe it needs to be a 5-10% increase.
Sure. And people might always think that, okay, well, the rates are always going to go up. And I mean, it looks like obviously the trends are on the increase, but from year to year, just taking a quick cursory look at it, they're not always, I mean, some years they'll go up, but then the next year the rates will go down. So, mm-hmm. you know, it obviously trends up as we might expect, but, you know, a lot of these numbers, you know, the 2026 numbers just, you know, may actually be just a little bit lower than like the 2024 numbers. So it's not an exact, you know, linear curve.
Yes, absolutely. And it's important to note that some of these things include the cost of the material. So looking at the haying operations, so the cost of haying square bales is different than the cost of round bales, or wrapping those bales with net versus wire or twine. So it really depends on the type of practice that you're working on is what it's going to cost. So this is our starting point when folks are looking at hiring something done, or if they're looking at starting a new business. It's really important to do your basic research. And if anybody's interested in gaining this document, you can find it on our K-State's Ag Econ website. It's called agmanager.info, agmanager.info. But also, I'm happy to talk folks through this as well. And I can be reached at the Altamont office. That number is 620-784-5337.
Well, that's a really good opportunity because, I mean, this is very valuable information that people might think they have to pay for. But, I mean, this is free.
Yes, absolutely. It is totally, this resource is free and it's broken down by the acre. We talked about that earlier. And a lot of times, whenever we're talking about these sorts of practices, sometimes you want to pay by the hour and sometimes you want to pay by the acre, because if you're paying by the acre, then you don't have to include time that's, you know, spent repairing or, you know, other activities that might not be planned. But also, whenever we're talking about haying situations, maybe you want to pay by the bale. So how good were you at growing your forage this year? You could pay by the bale versus by the acre. So it really depends on the practice, on what it is that's the best way to charge or be paid for those different practices.
Very good. Well, some good information here, and I hope folks can get a hold of it and take a look. It really is some interesting numbers here. So it's broken down by all the different activities, crops, and everything. So hope folks can take advantage of that if they are interested in checking that all out.
Absolutely.
All right. Now, Wendy, I know we do have some events that are coming up that you'd like to tell us a little bit about. So what is on the schedule here for the Wildcat District?
Yeah, absolutely. Our FCS, Family Consumer Science agent, Michelle Brockstrom, is doing some babysitting clinics, and that's going to be for 12 years old and older. They're going to talk about food safety, nutrition, first aid and CPR, child development, and then activities for young children and safe practices for infants as well. And so folks participating in these workshops will actually get CPR certified. They'll leave with a supply kit and a resource binder. So a really good opportunity for some learning there. There's going to be one held in Girard on June 12. Girard, June 12. Independence on June 18. So if you're interested in signing up for either one of those, call those offices. The Independence office is 620-331-2690. Registration is due by June 5th for both of those opportunities. And then we've got our county fairs coming up. So I'll run through those dates real fast for folks to jot down onto their calendars as well. The Crawford County Fair is going to be the end of July, July 29 through August 1. Labette County Fair, held in Oswego, is July 18 through 25. The Montgomery County Fair, July 22nd through the 27th, held in Independence. And then the Wilson County Fair, held in Fredonia, July 21st through the 26th.
Fantastic. They'll be here before we know it.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, Wendy, if folks do want to get a hold of you and if ask a question or maybe just pick your brain on something, what's the best way to do that?
Yeah. Call me at any of the extension offices. The Labette County office is 620-784-5337.
Okay. Well, appreciate you coming on by, and we'll look forward to chatting again soon.
Thank you.
That is Wendy Powell, a livestock production agent for the Wildcat Extension District. This has been our Green Setup program brought to you by Green Acres here in Coffeyville. On the way, we'll have Open Line in just a few minutes. We'll also talk with Candy Westbrook from the Coffeyville Chamber.